Hello, iterative marketers. Welcome to the Iterative Marketing Podcast, where each week we give marketers and entrepreneurs actionable ideas, techniques, and examples to improve your marketing results. If you want notes and links to the resources discussed on the show, sign up to get them emailed to you each week at iterativemarketing.net. There you'll also find the Iterative Marketing blog and our community LinkedIn group where you can share ideas and ask questions of your fellow iterative marketers. Now let's dive into the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Iterative Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Robinson, and with me, as always, is the animated and visually interesting Elizabeth Aaron. How are you doing today, Elizabeth?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
Good. Do you think I'm grasping now for descriptors?
It's getting a little interesting, yes. Yes, it is.
I get a pass because I'm on vacation today, I think.
You think you're on vacation, or you think you get the pass?
I think I get the pass.
Okay.
Although I am working on vacation, so perhaps I'm not so certain about that either.
Well, we'll see if we can get you out of there a little early today and you can have some good family time.
Excellent, excellent. So if the audio and video quality are a little different today, that's because I'm in Michigan, hanging out with my family on the beach. Well, not on the beach at the moment, but this afternoon. So what are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to talk about aligning traditional media with your customer journey. For those of you that tuned in last week, we talked about how we align our digital media with our customer journey, and now we're looking more at the traditional side.
And if you haven't listened to episode 18 yet, you're going to want to jump back two episodes, actually, because that's where we talk about aligning your content with your buyer's journey. And that's equally as important and probably something you want to look at first before you start looking at aligning your media channels.
So today we're going to get into, like we said, the traditional media and sort of how that requires a different strategy. We're going to talk about the different traditional media channels that you can use to deliver your content to your audience based on where they are in their customer journey. And then we're also going to review how we measure this and then sort of wrap this up with, I think the best way of saying it is just sort of a challenge to marketers that we need to start approaching traditional media in a different way going forward. And we'll talk about that a little bit at the end of the episode.
So before we get into the individual media channels, we should probably kind of outline why traditional is different from digital when we're doing this alignment.
So I think, you know, we had talked about this last week, that digital allows us to mix both first party and third party data to target an individual. And we have a lot of very precise targeting methods. When we move into traditional media, we really don't have those options. We've got a little bit in direct mail, and we'll talk about that later. But for the most part, we're hitting a mass audience, and we don't have the luxury of being able to hit that very targeted, very segmented audience. So when we start talking about targeting our traditional media based on where our persona is in their buyer's journey, it gets hard to try and figure out how to align that with your traditional media.
So in general, you have to assume that the audience is sort of made up of your general mix of audience. So the bulk of the people that you'll be reaching on any given traditional channel are going to be in your C state, whereas there will be a smaller group that maybe is in think, and then a very, very, very small group that's in do. And you have to keep that in mind as you're figuring out your mix of content and how you're going about using these traditional channels.
And so I think you hit on something that's important, and that's that a lot of your messaging is going to be C, but we are going to have some exceptions. And as we dive into each of these channels or mediums, we can really talk about where those exceptions lie. And so why don't we get started with probably the biggest of traditional advertising and talk about TV.
So TV is a unique media in that it is it's interruptive. So when you're watching television, you're there to see the program, and the commercials come in and interrupt you and prevent you from seeing that program. So this means that it can be really good for getting in front of your C audience who isn't looking for your message in the first place. So when you're looking at aligning television with your customer journey, the focus generally should be on C. And the other reason for that is because it's lean back. Do you want to explain lean back a little bit, Elizabeth?
Sure. When the audience is consuming our content, or consuming content in general, they're only consuming it. They're not engaging with it. They're sitting back. They're passive. They're watching. On the opposite side of that is lean forward, and that's when they're consuming and engaging with it. And we see lean back more with traditional TV and what they're doing when they're sitting on their couch, and we see lean forward more when they're engaging with something that requires a little bit more of their involvement, and we see that with along the lines of YouTube.
And because this is lean back, and they don't have hands on a keyboard or a mouse, and they're not really in a position to interact with the device that they're consuming the media on, asking the audience to do something is a bit of a stretch, because you're asking them to stop watching the television program that they're there to watch, A, and then B, you're asking them to go and find another device, although chances are they have a mobile device in their hand while they're watching television, but and go and engage in a different way. And so for that reason, when you're aligning television with the customer journey, you generally want to focus on that C state and limit the times that you're asking them to think or do, because they're not in a mode to consume your content for think stage, and you're asking them to stop what they're trying to do, which is engage, watch a program, and engage with you on a different medium if you're asking them to engage and do.
I think it's interesting because you just said that we shouldn't ask them to think, which kind of ties a little bit into C when we're trying to create content that entertains them and is aligned with what it is that they're actually doing, watching TV to be entertained. So I don't know if that was intentional or not, but I definitely caught that.
So let's jump into radio. And if you're advertising on podcast, it's going to largely follow the same rules, because it's digital, but it's really no more measurable or connected than radio is.
So radio is also interruptive. The advantage of radio is that typically the messages can be longer. So when we've got that captive audience and we can buy a little bit more airtime, we have the ability to produce some think state content in a way that we can't necessarily do in a 10 or a 15 second spot on TV.
And that's especially true if it's a sponsor read, right? So if you're getting the host to actually do the read, then the audience is already engaged with that host and is there to listen to that host. So chances are you're able to get more into think state at that point.
But I think something that's important to keep in mind is that the majority of radio content is being consumed outside of the home. It's when people are driving or they're out and about and interacting with friends and family. And so one thing that we want to keep in mind is that anything that we ask this audience to do, anything that we ask them to do that's an online task, is going to be much harder for them because, gosh, if they're driving, hopefully they're not also checking their phone. But they may not even have it available to them to do that. And so that's something that we want to keep in mind when we're thinking about content for this channel.
And that's counter to a lot of what you'll hear, particularly if you're listening to podcasts and the sponsor reads that occur on podcasts, because there, the advertisers are generally most focused on trying to measure the impact of that advertising, because it's a new medium and they're not really sure if this is working or not. And so oftentimes you'll hear a lot of, go to the website and use this promo code or use this special URL. When in reality, that's a little bit counter to the way that the audience is consuming the media.
So again, much like TV, the focus for radio and podcasts should really be focused on C state. And then when you've got some longer spots available and when it's appropriate for your audience, then you can look at some think state offers. But again, keep in mind that everyone is going to hear both. We don't have any way of segmenting them. So whatever you're putting out for your think, make sure that you're not turning off your C.
Absolutely. Let's talk about print here. Print's a bit unique because a print can really apply to see, think, or do audiences depending on the context, right?
Yeah, and I think it's important here to note that when you and I kind of started talking about this episode and we're like, oh, it's super easy, and then we started kind of debating back and forth in print, and we realized it's not that easy. Mm-hmm. And we're going to provide some examples, I think, here in a little bit that will help show that it really can be applied to think, or do.
I think what makes print unique is it's a matter of aligning the message with the context or the expectations of the audience at that point in time. So depending on what type of print media the audience is engaging with, their expectations as to what part of their buyer's journey that content's going to align with change. So for example, if I'm browsing a glossy magazine, I'm not really expecting do stage offers. I'm not expecting coupons in there. I'm not expecting, buy now or you're going to lose this opportunity. I'm really expecting more of the see or think stage type of content, right?
Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, I think it's important to note that that doesn't mean you're not going to see them. I've noticed after we had our conversation, I was flipping through my family magazine and got to the back, and there's that black and white section of the ads, and there's a lot of Due State ads at the back. I've also never paid attention to those before, so I'm not quite sure how effective they are. But it's, you know, it really does come down to a matter of context and expectations, like you said.
And then you have you know, advertorials that'll pop up in various magazines or newspapers that you're reading, and in that case, you know, that's going to be a little bit more of your think state content, right? Because it's a longer form ad. They're trying to get you to think about some topic, and hopefully it's not too salesy and edging in to do. Otherwise, it's not really an effective advertorial, native advertising, if you want to call it native print. It's edging kind of into that, I know, that scuzzy kind of salesy end of things. And so you're gonna focus on think if it's longer form, really copy heavy sort of advertising.
And I think there's two ways. You know, you've got your traditional advertorials that have the tiny little print at the top that says this is an advertisement. And it's pretty straightforward what it is. But then you have those ones that are a little more disguised, and they're typically a pay-to-play article tied to some sort of media buy. And they're written by someone at the publication, or maybe they're written by you and they may or may not have a byline on it. And those ones are a little bit harder. But again, that is your opportunity to get some think content in there, keeping in mind, again, the expectations of the reader. If they're coming to that magazine to be entertained, then you need to balance entertainment with some of that think copy.
And then flipping all the way over to Due State, if you're browsing the circulars looking to do some coupon clipping, you're obviously expecting Due State content at that point, right? And if you threw in some ad that didn't have a coupon in there, you might actually annoy the audience more than anything else. So coming back to context and expectations, coupons are all due.
Now, where we kind of, you know, I think got a little held up is when we started talking about our daily newspaper. And I subscribed to our local paper here and, you know, had pulled that up, and we were kind of going through the paper together. And we're really surprised that there was a lot of advertising that was targeted to Due State content.
Yeah. And we'll kind of get to this a little bit later when we talk about sort of our call to action for the industry to start looking at traditional media differently. But it was rather eye-opening and surprising when we started looking at newspaper advertising as it aligns to the customer journey, because so much of it was focused at the latter, you know, the last tail end of that customer journey, which when you think about it is your smallest segment of that audience in many cases. So those limited time offers saying, you know, buy now or interest rate's going to change, or stop in the next 2 weeks before the sale is over, you know, all of that due stage content, it may not be the best place for it, but we'll talk more about that later.
I think that it's important to know that there are some exceptions, though, when we're talking about this due state, and that applies to products that people need all of the time. Laundry soap is a great example. It's purchased so frequently and by so many people that the number of people at any given moment that are in due state is large enough that advertising may make sense.
Counter that with, you know, a siding contractor. How often do people need to replace the siding on their home? It's not necessarily all that often. So in that case, you need to make sure that you understand exactly what percentage of your audience is ready to buy at any given moment before you choose to make the investment in that advertising, to know whether it's going to have a positive return on investment.
And I'm so glad you said that, because we're not necessarily saying don't ever do due state advertising. There's definitely a place for it, due state content. There's definitely a place. But as long as you as a marketer are aware that you are only talking to a small portion of your audience, and with your limited media budget dollars, is this how you want to be spending it? If this is, then great. But if it's not, this is your chance to kind of take a look and step back and reevaluate that plan.
So let's talk about outdoor. Outdoor is... really kind of the worst targeting you get. It's a very powerful medium. We're not saying don't ever use it, because it's very powerful. But if you think about it, you have no control over even which persona is looking at that. You know, you've got two-year-olds looking out the window from their car seat just as much as you've got, you know, your target audience looking out the window as they're driving down the road. So from that standpoint, it can be a very challenging medium because you can't even target on persona besides buyer's journey state.
Well, and I think it's challenging too, because when you look at what you can target on, you can target on see and you can target on do, but think it doesn't make sense. You know, just the nature of outdoor advertising and how it works is you can't have a paragraph on there. You can't have, you know, multiple points trying to sway someone's opinion, which is what you're trying to do when you're in the think state. And so, you know, that's it's sort of think state gets completely ignored by outdoor advertising. And so we're really focusing on see and we're focusing on do. And see makes sense. It applies to the largest possible audience. We're trying to build an affinity for our brand. And so, you know, when you don't necessarily know who it is that's driving by your particular location, then see makes sense.
Coming back to our episode 18, where we talked about aligning your content with your customer journey, if you recall, your C state content really only has one purpose or two purposes. One is to keep that brand top of mind, and two is to attach that brand to some big idea, right? And so when you think about the limited space and time that you have on an outdoor advertisement, it's ideal for that. Do state, you really have to focus on an offer that can be really clearly communicated in almost no words and simple pictures. So your McDonald's dollar menu works great. You know, see, juicy hamburger, $1, I get it. And then the same thing would be for like a room rate at a hotel. Okay, that makes sense. The key is that you have to have some brand advertising on the other, some C state and possibly some think state advertising elsewhere in order to make those deals make sense. Because if I don't know who McDonald's is, seeing that dollar menu burger, I just think, wow, a burger for $1, that's got to be awful. The same thing would be true for that room rate special. I now am attaching any value to the price that's on that board, or whatever limited time offer is on that board is all I know about that brand, which it might entice me to get into the store, but unless I see the value on the other side, and that's been communicated through some other marketing, it's wasted. So do state with outdoor is great if you've got other media supporting the rest of the customer journey.
What about direct mail?
Direct mail is, it could, in theory, be the most beautiful thing, right? Because we, in theory, can target direct mail exactly the same as we target digital. The databases exist. We have the data. We can match up consumers at their physical address back to the attributes within our first-party database, our CRM system, our marketing automation system, or to third-party data where we purchase lists of people that are in market for X, or even which zip plus four is most applicable to our particular target persona or audience, right? Where things fall down is with digital, you can run things at very small scales and still make them cash flow positively. With print, when you start running things at very small scales, you run into problems, because your most cost-effective print advertising is when you have a large run of print material and you are doing a mailing on a per route basis rather than on a per home basis or per business basis. And so from a cost-effective standpoint, you have to make sure that your strategy is aligns with the potential return on that investment.
So to your point, it is possible to tie direct mail to a journey state. The question is, how do we personalize that message to the journey state that the prospect's in that particular point in time? And there's a couple of things ways that you can do this, things to keep in mind. And the first is to tie it to your marketing automation system.
A lot of people don't even know that this is possible, but just as you can tell your marketing automation system to send an email, you can actually tell your marketing automation system to send a single piece of print mail as well. The trick is to tie the system into a provider such as Lob or FPL. Both of those are great providers that'll actually let you do these one-off mailings based on exactly where that particular prospect is in their journey at that particular point in time.
With marketing automation, direct mail becomes a very easy and can be very effective solution. But what happens if you're a business that doesn't have marketing automation? Because a lot of the platforms out there are pretty expensive. And if you're a smaller business or you're a smaller company, you may have not explored marketing automation yet. When you do send mailings in this scenario, you want to be aware of the journey state, and you can track that through your CRM. It can be as simple as adding a field and knowing that someone is in it, that your sales team is updating this, or you're updating this as you're working with the contacts, with your contacts. And just kind of understand, be aware of the probability of your audience at any given time of where they are in the journey state. So when you combine your CRM and when you combine sort of this understanding of where your audience falls in general, you can start making some very educated decisions and actions using direct mail.
So I think this is a great time for us to take a quick break and help some people. When we get back, we'll talk about measurement.
Before we continue, I'd like to take a quick moment to ask you, iterative marketers, a small but meaningful favor, and ask that you give a few dollars to a charity that's important to one of our own. This week's charitable cause was sent in by Natalie in Colorado. Natalie asks that you make a contribution to the Girls on the Run organization, inspiring girls to be joyful, healthy, and confident through experience-based curriculum that creatively integrates running. Learn more at girlsontherun.org or visit the link in the show notes. If you would like to submit your cause for consideration for our next podcast, please visit iterativemarketing.net/podcast and click the Share a Cause button. We love sharing causes that are important to you.
And welcome back. So we went through a litany of traditional media methods before we jumped into the break there. And now I think it's important to talk about measurement, because on the digital side, it's really easy to measure the effectiveness of our advertising, especially if it's direct response, because all we have to do is count the clicks, right? What about on the traditional side?
Yeah, it's not so easy, because typically we're asking our audience to change mediums. And so how do we track that? How do we track that from they've seen something on TV and now we're asking them to take an action? And so we need to find a way to link between the medium they left to where we've asked them to go.
And the key here is to have a unique call to action. So for every placement you want to measure, you want to give them a unique key. And so that key changes depending on which medium you're asking them to engage with. If you're asking them to pick up the phone, you're going to give them a specific phone number, usually through a call tracking service like Mongoose Metrics or CallRail. If you're asking them to visit a website, then you can give them a unique URL. And we recommend it be its own domain name, not just the slash something special, right? Because people will often Google things or skip the slash, and chances are this isn't going to be something that's going to be in Google anyway. And then if you're asking them to engage in SMS or text messaging, then you give them a specific short code. And then finally, if you're asking them to actually physically visit the store, then you give them a coupon. And so that coupon becomes trackable back through your point of sale system back to that particular source.
I think one we left off, I think that's important too, and we see this used all the time and very effectively, is promo codes. Promo codes are a great way to be able to track that. And you see that a lot in radio advertising. You see that in TV ads as well. And so that's another way that you can tie that back to a digital experience.
In general, everything we've described is going to be applied mostly to your think and your do state. Measuring C state is just as ambiguous digitally as it is traditionally, and that's where you get into market research and brand awareness and even just measuring how often your brand name is Googled and some other hacks that we've come up with over the years in order to get some rough measurement on the return on the investment. But really, when we talk about this measurement, we're talking about measuring think and do state response.
So at the beginning of the podcast, we talked about, we wanted to challenge marketers to think a little bit differently about traditional media. And now we're going to kind of get into that a little bit. When we take a look at traditional media, the landscape has changed. And in response, we need to change how we're approaching traditional media.
Yeah, I think a lot of marketers out there have a tendency to focus on do state when it comes to any advertising in any media. And I think that focus really comes out of a desire for measurement. Do state is infinitely more measurable than your think or your C state advertising, because we just measure the number of sales that come out the other side. But in doing so, I think that a lot of marketers are short-sighted, because depending on what your objectives are overall, traditional may not be the best place for that do state advertising, because it may not be where your audience is when they're in do state. And so I think the key is making sure that you understand how you're measuring that response. And if it is due state, make sure that your measurement's actually real measurement and not just anecdotal, well, how many people do you think came in this week off the radio ad, but actually measuring it, right? And then make sure that strategically you're aligning the right media with the right state of that customer's journey.
You know, you mentioned that you thought a lot of it was driven by measurement. I think a lot of it is driven by the fact that we want and we need action now. You know, we've got our executive team or our CEO asking us what we're getting for our media spend, and we need something to tie it back to. And so we run to due state because those people are ready to convert. Those people are ready to take action. The problem is that audience is so small that when we only target them, then we're leaving all these other people on the table that while they may not be ready to buy today, they may be ready to buy tomorrow or next week or next month. And so if we think about that and we include that in our strategy, then we're able to not only drive those sales now with due state content, but we can drive those future sales as well. And we get into a very nice rhythm where we keep feeding that pipeline. And so I think, you know, one of the key takeaways that we hope that all of you, all of our listeners walk away with today is question your strategy. We're not saying you have to throw your strategy out, but take a look at your strategy. Why are you doing it? Where does this particular ad fit into your customer journey? What percentage of your audience is at that point in the customer journey? And then is that really the best way to spend your money, or is this the best way to talk to them? Or should, you know, you reevaluate and maybe we shift some dollars around and shift some messaging around. So again, we are addressing people in every single state throughout the customer journey.
Absolutely. I think that's a great point for us to leave things off at. So I want to thank everybody for making time for us this week. And until next week, onward and upward.
If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube or your favorite podcast directory. If you want notes and links to resources discussed on the show, sign up to get them emailed to you each week at iterativemarketing.net. There, you'll also find the Iterative Marketing blog and our community LinkedIn group where you can share ideas and ask questions of your fellow iterative marketers. You can also follow us on Twitter. Our username is at @iter8ive. Or email us at podcast@iterativemarketing.net. The Iterative Marketing Podcast is a production of Brilliant Metrics, a consultancy helping brands and agencies rid the world of marketing waste. Our producer is Heather Ullman with transcription assistance from Emily Bechtel. Our music is by Seastock Audio Music Production and Sound Design. You can check them out at seastockaudio.com. We'll see you next week. Until then, onward and upward.